Find a Bible, please, and open it to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. This is one of the most familiar stories in the Old Testament. Most children know this story. It's a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In 597 B.C., 590 years before Christ was born, God's people had slid into wickedness, unspeakable wickedness. They were worshiping idols. They were worshiping the gods, the Canaanites. And God sent prophets to them. And they put the prophets in prison. Put them in deep, dry wells. The particular prophet during that period of time was Jeremiah. He was an old man. And the people just would not listen to him, particularly the king, Jeconiah. So God sent Nebuchadnezzar. You look him up on Google, it'd be Nebuchadnezzar II. At this time, he was a crown prince of Babylon, but in all other viewpoints, he ran the country. And he appeared at the gates of Jerusalem. Jeremiah prevailed upon the king not to resist because he said, Babylon is God's switch. He said God's rod to punish you. I remember when I was a little boy, and I had done wrong. Depending upon which parent I was closest to. If it was my mother, she would go to the sewing machine and get a 12-inch wooden ruler. And I wore shorts most of the time, and she worked the backs of my legs good with that thing. God was saying through Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar's God's ruler. Now, Nebuchadnezzar took the flower of Jewish young manhood back to Babylon. And he put them to work as civil servants. Daniel was among this group, and these three friends of Daniel were among that group. Now, Nebuchadnezzar never was a person who lacked self-confidence. In fact, he had a hat full of pride. So, he made this golden statue. Doesn't say what it is, but I believe it was of himself. And he ordered everybody in the city of Babylon to come and look at his statue, see what he had made. And the commandment was, when you hear the music, you're to bow down and worship the statue. Well, the music played, And everybody's face was upon the ground except these three Jewish boys, probably in their late teens, at most early 20s. And they were standing there like this, looking around. Nebuchadnezzar was so angry, he sent word to them, said, I'm going to give you another chance. If you don't bow down and worship this altar, worship this image, you see that furnace over there? We're going to throw you in it. Now, the furnace was a large furnace that was used for the making of bricks and tile, because there was no rock in that part of the world. It was all mud and clay and sand. So the Babylonians built everything that they built out of bricks and sometimes faced it with beautiful tile. Now, some of you ladies who have taken courses in ceramics, you know how hot these furnaces have to be to fire tile. I don't, but that's how hot this was. Nebuchadnezzar said, get the temperature as hot as you can. And then he came and he said, look, you better get down on your face when you hear the music. And the three Hebrew children said, Nebuchadnezzar, we really don't need to defend ourselves in this matter. If we're thrown into the furnace, the God we serve is able to take care of us. Now, even if he doesn't, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you set up. They were willing to go to their deaths rather than worship an idol. Serious business. So, they heated up the furnace. They bound them with the ropes. Some of the strongest soldiers in the army pitched them in. They got so close that the heat killed them. Took the oxygen away, even down in their lungs. So, the king went up to look around. And let's hear what he found. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. Now from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, to the end of the book. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the word of God. Praise be unto the Lord. Have you ever been to the place in your life where you felt like you were one of the three Hebrew children? That you were in a fire. There was no way out. What did you do when you looked down the road and saw that this was where you were headed? I suspect you begin to worry, didn't you? You dreaded the approach of that time. Did you ever stop to think, Christian, that as you looked into the future in your imagination and you began to dread what was coming upon you, that Christ had already preceded you and had gone there before you? And that when you got to the fire, He was in the fire with you. If you just take a look at people who made headlines in the Bible, you will find that God was with them. I just pulled out of my imagination in memory, a few people in the Bible who experienced this deliverance. Abraham and Isaac. God told Abraham in the 15th chapter of Genesis, verse 5, that his descendants would be like the sands of the sea, or like the stars in heaven. And Isaac, born to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, was Abraham's only hope that this promise had a chance of coming true. And then one day God said, Abraham, take the child and go to the place I will show you and offer him as a sacrifice to me. Where do you think Abraham's heart was as he and the servant and Isaac began their journey? There was the donkey with the wood. There was Abraham, and there was Isaac. The servant said to Abraham, Abraham, look at all this stuff you got. Haven't you forgotten something? There's no lamb. You remember Abraham's words? God himself will provide the lamb. On top of the mountain, Abraham built his altar of stone. He placed the wood upon it. He bound Isaac and laid him on the altar. He drew the sacrificial knife. And with his heart breaking, he was ready to obey God. And the angel of the Lord, which is a way of saying God appearing on earth in flesh, stopped him. And he said, look in the bushes. And there was a young ram caught in the brambles by its horns. God was there with Abraham and Isaac on that mountain. Moses, he had run away from his half-brother, Ramses II. He had gone down into Midian, and there he had found a worshiper of God Most High and had married his daughter. Moses had a good life. If you like stock, if you like fooling with stock, you can understand how Moses felt that day when he saw the bush burning and it wasn't burned up. And he went over there and God said, take off your shoes, man. This is holy ground. Moses was an old man. It was time to retire. Time to let the younger people do this. But God had other plans. He said, Moses, go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses said, God, I don't even know your name. We know you as God Most High, but what is your name? Because they're going to say, Moses, who sent you? And God told Moses, tell them that I am hath sent you. Yahweh. And the way that Moses wrote this account, the name of God there really is in the future tense, not the present. And so it means I will be what I will be. Or I will be whatever I need to be. And God is giving Moses a promise. Moses, when you go down there and you face Ramses, whatever I need to be to accomplish my will through you, I will be. God is telling Moses, I am going to be there for you. Jesse told his youngest son, David, said, take these provisions down to your brothers who are in the army. They had volunteered to fight the Philistines. David found the army on one side of a valley were the Philistines. On the other side were the Israelites. And strutting up and down in the valley between was this giant of a man, about 7 feet tall. You say, well, there's a lot of people in the NBA that tall now. Yeah, but you forget that in David's day, the average height of a Jew was about 5'2", 5'3". They were small. And here was this huge man. Big as Shaquille O'Neal. Strutting up and down. And David said, why hasn't somebody killed this guy? And nobody had the nerve to do it. To cut to the chase. David's weapon was a slingshot. Not one of these kind. One of these kind. Did you ever play with one of these men when you were a boy? We did, Daryl. You just can't believe how far they'll throw a rock and how hard they'll throw it unless you've done it. David picked up five smooth, flat stones from the creek down there. And he slung one of them. And it hit the giant. The only place that wasn't covered by armor, right between the eyes. God was with him. God gave him the victory. Peter was in prison for preaching the gospel. The church was back praying for his release. And an angel came. And there was an earthquake. And the angel led him out past the guards. And they didn't see either one of them. Because in that jail, God was with Peter. Now the funny thing is, when he went to the house where his friends were praying for God to release him, the young lady that opened the door got so excited she shut the door and left Peter outside and went in and said, it's Peter. And they said, no, he's in jail. Duh, what are you praying for? God brought him out. Matthew's gospel tells us that God is going to be with us until the angel comes and stands with one foot on land and one foot on sea and declares that time shall be no more. Now, for a long time, I thought this meant that wouldn't be more time, go into eternity, but that's not what it really says. What it really says in there is that John wrote, time's up. It's like the buzzer at the end of the basketball game. It's like the referee's whistle at the end of a football game. The battle's over. God has won. And time is up. God calls time on the devil. God calls time on his demons. He calls time on cancer. He calls time on all that has plagued mankind. Because when time is up, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Christian, this is God's promise to you. This morning, are you looking down the road and you can see the smoke and smell the fire and your path goes straight toward it? Your anxiety is leveling out about 8 feet above the roof. Or have you gone into the fire? And you don't know where to go. Look around you. Do you see the Lord? In these stories that we read from the Bible, these heroes of faith could actually see the Lord. But you and I live by faith. And we do not see the Lord with our eyes. We see Him through eyes of faith. Look around. Don't you see Him? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank You for Christ and His presence with us, according to His promises to us in Your word. Amen.